Those are awful.
That's why I picked it.
I feel like this was the alternate theme song of like Hawaii Five-O.
This is Salambo by the Salambos. It's a nice little dancey track. Okay, so the way this works is we're going to give each other a one or two word clue about a story that is in the news, and then the other person will try and guess what the story is. There is partial credit if you get some of what's going on with it. And I believe we're 2-1 right now is the current score. So I'm barely holding on to a lead against Lisa right
now. Yes, better.
So Lisa, I think it's your turn to go first this week.
Okay. Wounded Warrior Project.
I know what that is. Is that what Donald Trump is going to be holding a benefit for tomorrow night in lieu of attending the Fox News debate?
It's still debatable. That's not confirmed. He mentioned it. Have you donated the Wounded Warrior Project recently?
Oh, no.
Oh, you might have helped fund lavish parties for employees. This was a CBS two-part investigation based on interviews with more than 40 former employees, funding millions of dollars in donations were wasted. So now I'm talking about $1.7 million was spent in 2010. $26 million was spent in 2014. Everything from the chairperson and president being escorted in one of the very lavish four-day meetings that they have at various cities on a horse. Now, 60% of its budget actually goes to veterans. This is compared to 90 to 96, 97% other veteran charities.
The other 40%, I assume, is going for the horse.
So please think again if you want to have some sort of, and I offer this to Trump, have a better group to push your money into.
Yeah, yeah. So you were looking for the CBS investigation on that one. And
yes.
All right, so I did not get that one. Okay, so this one goes to Lisa Dushine.
Dushine is, it killed two kids in, Tennessee. It's a mixture of Mountain Dew, Derek's favorite, and racing fuel. And it's pretty, the racing fuel is like 100%, it's like poisonous. I mean, two tablespoons are going to kill a baby.
Yeah.
They're mixing it together. Dushine. Thank you.
We'll give that one to Lisa. Yeah, it is actually a mixture of Mountain Dew and 100% methanol. Kids, you don't drink the methanol. Ethanol is the one you can drink. Methanol is the one that kills you. Four teenage boys in Robertson County have died from this, including two a couple of days ago. Logan Stevenson was one. He was found dead in his bed. And then a friend, his best friend, was having seizures. He was taken to the hospital and also died. So,
what other happened to bath salts and NyQuil?
Where are the kids getting the racing fuel is what I want to know.
Yeah.
Where are you getting 100% methanol?
That's
not something that you leave around 16-year-old boys.
All right. Derek, juveniles.
I need something more specific than juveniles.
Imprisoned juveniles.
Imprisoned juveniles. Imprisoned juveniles. No, I got nothing on that.
Now, on Monday, the Supreme Court offered a chance for freedom to hundreds of convicted murderers given life sentences without parole. Justices ruled 6-3 that child killers locked away for life as long as a half a century ago deserve the same consideration as those currently under 18 who commit murders today. So we are talking about a possibility of 1,500 prisoners could be up for parole were given.
He was a good kid. He made some mistakes.
Oops, he just killed everybody. All right.
That's for the Supreme Court, too, for letting these miniature murderers out on the streets.
Not a big deal.
Okay. I gotta give you a hard one, though, because you caught me on that one. guillotine.
Oh, the governor of Maine said it jokingly, but wants to bring back medieval style of torture, including the guillotine.
What I think, this is the quote that he said to a local radio show. By the way, Lisa gets the point for that one.
Very informed this week.
What I think we ought to do is bring the guillotine back. We could have public executions and have, you know, we could even have which hole it falls in. So I assume they've got holes set up in front of the guillotine in whichever hole the head rolls into. Somebody gets a point. Maybe this is a new lottery that they have up in Maine. I don't know. But this is the same. But he went on to say,
it's all that clean air up there. Just
he went on to say, quote, I think the death penalty should be appropriate for people that kill Mainers. End quote. This is the same guy who just a couple of weeks ago described drug dealers as follows. Quote, these are guys with the name D-Money Smoothie Shifty. They come from Connecticut and New York. They come up here. They sell their heroin. Then they go back home. Incidentally, half the time they impregnate a young white girl before they leave. End quote. Maine governor.
Was he just joking about that one, too?
Paul LePage. He said he didn't mean white girl. He meant young Maine girl, which is the same thing.
All right, last one, Derek.
I got to get one of these because you're now ahead of me by one. You've got 2-0 for me this week.
Boost Mobile deals.
I looked at a lot of news this week. Boost Mobile deals. One of these organizations has come under scrutiny from the Federal Trade Commission, and I'm trying to remember the exact nature of what they were doing. It's not the cramming case. That was a couple of weeks ago. I don't know.
This could start a new trend with mobile apps. Unveiled on Tuesday. Now, Boost is, the parent company is Sprint. It's an Android-only app called Boost Deals, and it's developed in partnership with an Australian startup called Unlocked. Once you sign up for this, you can get $5 taken off of your monthly bill if you sign up for this, which entails every time you unlock the screen, you get a pop-up ad.
Ew.
Full screen pop-up ad.
Ew.
And it has to be 3 ads every minute.
Ew.
Is that worth the $5?
No, I'm not saving $5 for that.
And they're saying that this could be utilized by T-Mobile.
Even the audience
Verizon
doesn't like it.
I know.
That's a bad idea.
They think it's a great idea.
That's a terrible idea. Nobody wants to look at that many ads. All right, so
trying to go for the
zero for me this week. That wasn't real. Was that a news story? Who ran that?
That was on CNN Money.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
When?
Tuesday, yesterday.
No, it wasn't.
I'm gonna pull it up.
It was on CNN Money multiple times yesterday. I didn't see that. Hmm. You can legitimately get me on the CBS thing because I did sort of miss that. Okay. I didn't entirely miss it. I knew it, but couldn't remember the name of the organization. All right, here's the last one for you. Sal Tessio.
Sal Tessio. What are the name, like, Sal something? That's in Austria, where they're having the Mozart. Sal Tessio.
It's a person's name, Sal Tessio.
Oh, Sal Tessio.
Yeah.
I thought it was one word.
No, Sal Tessio.
I don't know.
Well, at least I got you on one of them this week. Sal Tessio was one of the roles made immortal by the finally late Abe Vigoda, who passed away yesterday at the age of 94, about 15 years after most people thought he'd died.
How old was he? 91?
He was 94. And he'd never been sick a day in his life. Someone tweeted, perhaps comically, that the last person to work on Abe Vigoda's obituary at the New York Times had since left the New York Times, and that the original person who worked on his obituary was in fact dead. But this is a good one to bust your friends with on trivia.
That's a bad thing when
because Abe Vigoda has been one of the top alive or dead questions for years now. Because he hasn't done anything in a long time. Mm-hmm. He hasn't appeared in anything. Everybody just assumed that he was dead. In fact, he was not. But now he is. So now you know.
So that was a final score of Derek 0, Lisa 2. We are now tied.
We got to go a little bit more mainstream than
you
Boost.
You have to understand, I've been going back to the gym and I've been doing a lot of reading on the elliptical.
Yeah, but I'm lobbing you softballs here.
Are you?
Abe Vigoda was everywhere in the last 24 hours. Yeah. And you've seen The Godfather, right?
Yeah, of course.
You know who Sal Tessio is. Sal Tessio is the mob boss that wants to kill Michael Corleone.
You have to understand, I originally thought that was one word that you were saying.
That's why I said it's a person's name, and you're still not, you know, come on. Meanwhile, you're hitting me with Boost Mobile. Like, what? No.
I'm going to find the article. It was
Boost Mobile. That's a stupid idea. You know why I didn't read that? Because that's a stupid idea. 617-627-3800. When we come back, are you depressed? Yes, you are. We're going to find out how depressed you are right here on WMFO Medford.
Sometimes in winter, I gaze into the streets and walk through snow and city sleep behind your roof. Sometimes in winter, forgotten memories remember you behind the trees with leaves that cry. By the window once I waited for you, laughing slightly you would run. Trees alone would shield us in the meadow, making love in the evening sun. Now you're gone, girl, and the lampposts call your name. I can hear them in a spring of frozen rain. Now you're gone, girl, and the time slow down till dawn. It's a cold room, and the walls ask where you've gone.
An alert shopper. Watch for specials at your meat counter. If you're not taking advantage of them, you could be missing out on enjoyable eating and an economical way of stocking your freezer. Always know what cut you're buying and its best use. If you buy meat marked USDA Prime, Choice, or Good, you'll know what quality you're getting. For more information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
For the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, I'm Dr. Tom Shives. People who enjoy winter sports can't wait for the first snowfall. But winter sports can also mean broken bones and other injuries. For instance, every year, skiing causes tens of thousands of injuries and about 30 deaths in the U.S. A lot of those are from head injuries, so skiers of all ages should wear helmets. Head injuries tend to occur late in the day when skiers may be tired, so watch out for fatigue. Using a helmet is also a great idea for children who go ice skating or sledding. Other sledding safety tips: only go sledding in designated areas that are free of trees, posts, and fences. Adults should supervise children, and all sledders should sit facing forward, but never head first. Use a sled with runners and a steering mechanism, which is safer than toboggans or snow discs. Prevent winter sports injuries so you can focus on the fun. For more information, visit the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons online at aaos.org.
It seems the things I've wanted in my life I've never had. So it's no surprise that living only leaves me sad. Happiness, where are you? I've searched so long for you. Happiness, what are you? I haven't got a clue. Happiness, why do you have to stay so far away?
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Gary, and I'm Lisa Nichols, and we're here with you every Wednesday night. We want you to be a part of the show, and you can do that by giving us a call at 617-627-3800. Derek, he's sad.
Yes.
Are you depressed?
I am, because you don't come up with any songs for the thing.
Stump the
co-host. So I have to play the Salambos.
Well,
that and you throw in like glorified press releases as news stories.
Stop it. Wine, wine, wine. Now, you might be able to be screened because of new recommendations if you think you are depressed.
You should be screened.
Absolutely. I am one of the biggest backers on mental health. Now, pregnant women and new mothers, this was really the focus of this study. And understanding, you know, we have this connotation of postpartum depression, and it affects many, many mothers. This new study comes out from the U.S. Preventative Task Force saying that not only should pregnant or post-pregnancy women get tested, pregnant women and everybody should.
All U.S. adults, everyone over the age of 18 should get a depression screening.
Now, this
using
announcement,
PHQ-9,
yes,
which is the Patient Health Questionnaire, has 9 questions on it designed to measure how depressed you are.
And many of your PCPs would use this, and then you would set up kind of similar to a course on how you're going to go about dealing with this, whether it be medication, whether it be therapy or whatnot. Now, do you have the questionnaire?
I do. So let's go through this, and we'll see how depressed we are, okay, actually, because there's a point I'm going to make about this at the end. But this is the recommendation now. This is a task force.
I feel like my answers would be a little bit different if it was summertime.
This is a task force set up by the United States government to evaluate patient care in the United States. And they basically said, everyone over 18 should get screened. Mm-hmm. Everyone over 18, you got to take the test.
No, yeah, it's an independent body, and it is convened by the federal government. But it's an agency for healthcare and quality. And it does review all these evidences and recommendations. And this is what they did here to make this new group.
So we got 9 questions.
Okay.
Question number one, and there are answers. So you pick the one that best applies. How do you feel about other people's success? Great. No one else can be successful. That's my thing. That's fine. It makes me a little sad because I worry I'll never be successful. Who cares? You'll never be as successful as me or good for them. What can I get out of it?
I would go with, that's fine. That's good. It's indifferent. It depends on the situation.
I'm
way, you know me, Derek, I'm way too over analytical and understanding that it's different.
I'm going to go with it makes me a little sad because I worry I'll never be successful. Number two, how do you react to failure? Your choices are, what is failure again? It happens sometimes. You just have to stay motivated. Failure isn't an option. I cry. Failure makes you stronger, or whatever it happens.
I cry.
I cry. I got to go with failure isn't an option for me, because that's, even though it's constantly an option for me and I do it well and frequently.
Ultimately you end up in fetal position crying.
No, I don't end up crying. I just go to the bar and drink a lot. Okay, how do you deal with a serious problem? Deal with it head on, joke about it, cry, have someone else deal with it, think about it a lot, but not deal with it, discuss it with my family.
Again, depends on the situation. I'm going to say for the majority, think about it a lot and don't deal with it.
Okay, I deal with it head on. That's, you know that about me.
Yes.
I mean, that's just my approach to, oh, there's a problem? Yeah. I will put off dealing with it for as long as I can, but I will eventually deal with it sometimes. Okay, the next question on the list. I'm going to scroll down for this one. How would your friends describe you? As a bit of a bore, as sassy, as the life of the party, as driven, as a goof, as kind of an ass.
I would say driven.
Okay. My friends definitely describe me as kind of an ass.
That is true.
Rather frequently and on Facebook all the time. You really should follow me on Facebook. It's hilarious. Okay. Next question. How do you feel about love? Love is a partnership. Love is everything. It hasn't always been easy for me, but I believe in it. It can be hard, but when you find the right one, you'll know. You have to work at what you love. I run my relationship.
It's dumb. Is that an option?
I would say...
You know how I feel about love.
Yeah.
But are we talking about relationships? We're talking about family.
Well, we're talking about, I think, interpersonal relationships here.
Okay.
You know. If you're just going to say it's dumb, I think it can
cynical.
Be...
Cynical.
It can be
something
hard.
Something similar to cynical?
It can be hard, but when you find the right one, you'll know it. Right?
Sure.
Okay. I mean, that just seems to be the one that's closest to... I mean, it's dumb is not an option here. So... All right, next. What is your sense of humor like? Your choices are, well, I think I'm funny. Everything can be funny. I'm really funny, but some people think I'm kind of a wet blanket. I'm the funniest. I can be kind of monotone. You know, I like funny things.
What was the second one?
Everything can be funny.
Everything can be funny, yes.
Right. I'm really funny, so I'm going to... That may be egotistical on my part, but you know what? What is the worst thing people say about you? You're dumb, you're fat, you're boring, you're crazy, you're horrible. No one really says anything about you.
To my face.
Well, I mean, yeah.
What was the second to last one?
You're horrible.
No, what was the one before that?
You're crazy.
Probably I'm crazy. That's a majority.
Wow. I think in my case...
I don't know if I would want that question on the questionnaire to determine if I'm depressed, what people say about me, crazy.
I think in my case, horrible is probably what people are going to pick.
Are we just talking about people in the office?
Well, no, I think in general. I know Kim says that about me all the time, that I'm horrible. So that'll make for a really fun Oscar show, by the way. Okay. In an argument, you tend to cry, overreact, fight back, stare blankly, start yelling and get defensive, or stay silent.
Overreact.
I definitely fight back in an argument. That is totally me. So, the results are in, and you got Chris. You're a little insane, but you know what you're doing. You're organized, driven, and caring, and that is why you're so successful.
But I'm great. I'm a little crazy.
Oh, this was the... Which Kardashian are you quiz? Not the depression quiz. This was the which Kardashian are you? I got Scott, by the way. So, hey, I win. I got Scott Disick. I am Scott Disick. Now I really am depressed.
Oh, good God.
And I point this out, by the way, to say that this is about as relevant as the actual 9 questions on PHQ-9. Because here's the real questions that are supposed to tell whether or not you're depressed. Do you have little interest or pleasure in doing things? And you get the same 4 choices
so
for all of these.
So it's your basic, yeah.
Not at all. It's been like that for several days, more than half the days, nearly every day. You know what? I have little interest in going to my job every day.
That doesn't make you depressed.
That doesn't mean I'm depressed. Are you feeling down, depressed, or hopeless? Well, you know, I think if you answer yes to any form of that question, you're probably depressed. Trouble falling or staying asleep or sleeping too much. Yeah, I have a wife that kicks me every single night, so I don't get any sleep. Feeling tired or having little energy. See above answer. I have a wife who kicks me, so I don't get any sleep. Poor appetite or overeating. Neither of the above. Right? Feeling
awful appetite. I can already tell I'm depressed.
Feeling bad about yourself, that you were a failure or that you let yourself or your family down.
Yeah.
Trouble concentrating on things, such as reading the newspaper or watching television.
This is your basic standardized questions that a doctor would ask you.
Yeah.
How do you feel today?
Well, that's what they want to do. Moving or speaking so slowly that other people could have noticed. What? Or the opposite, being so fidgety or restless that you have been moving around a lot more than usual. So,
yeah.
In other words, are you moving according to anything that varies from your definition of normal, whatever that happens to be?
Now, here's the thing that I have to say with these kind of questionnaires or tests to determine this. I believe that the situation is very different for everybody if we're talking about just pregnant women, people post-pregnancy. It's very different questions that you are going to be asking. If it's somebody that
no,
is a young...
these are the questions that they're going to ask.
But I'm saying
everyone
what
gets
should
the
be
same
asking.
Questions
because this comes out every year. We started in 2002. We started in 2009. The big question is, well, what's different this time? And I guess yes, because they did give this shout out to people in pregnancy, and there is such a stigma with, you know, postpartum.
Yeah.
And really, we only start talking about it if a woman harms herself, harms her child, and it's in the news.
Right.
Because a lot of women don't talk about this because it seems as it's not motherly. You don't. How would you tell crazy thoughts of harming your baby? What, everybody would look at me insane. Well, in fact, and as a study, this task force looked at studies, this is very common. This happens not weeks after pregnancy. This happens during pregnancy.
Pregnancy ends with massive trauma. Let's not forget that. Pregnancy is not this beautiful, you know, unicorns prancing around and rainbows flying through the air kind of thing. It is excruciatingly painful for a lot of women. It is a very highly physical, traumatic event for a woman to go through. And then your hormones crash the next day. So, of course, you're going to go through some changes.
Well, many doctors look at below the head and what's going all down with preeclampsia. Where it's all head.
Yeah.
And no woman should ever feel like it's not paternal. It's not maternal to have these thoughts. It's very common. And as you say, it's a trauma.
They did a study a few years ago where they examined the brains of mothers and discovered that some of their husbands' DNA remained lodged in their bodies after they gave birth.
Really?
So your genetic makeup gets rewritten when you have a baby, when you get pregnant. There's a lot of... this is a traumatic experience. The problem with this recommendation is, you know, yeah, you can screen adults all day long. Are you depressed? Yes, I'm depressed. Lisa's depressed. We are all depressed. We have been depressed our entire lives since the day we realized we were going to die. Everyone is depressed. Depression is the normal state of human existence. So everybody should be answering yes to all of these questions.
Mm-hmm.
We are all depressed. We all find different ways to cope with the fact that we're going to die someday. All right? Some people go hang gliding. Some people...
Yeah, but I mean, you can't look at it just as we're depressed because
some people hide in
the
corner.
Going to die. That's a really broad way of looking at it.
That is the core of human experience, is knowing that...
Regards to depression, I agree with you. It's how you cope on it. Everybody has some sort of depression. Some people are able to mask that down and completely forget about it. Some people have such high levels of it, and it's only ignited with certain circumstances, like, say, losing a job, having a breakup, postpartum.
But those are normal situations to be depressed.
But everybody has a different chemical makeup, and it's how your brain adjusts to it. And this is why people have to take medication, because sometimes you need medication to even out your brain.
But that's different from, I lost my job, I'm depressed. I just broke up with someone, I'm depressed.
Oh, absolutely.
I just had a baby, I'm depressed. There are normal things.
But when you have differences in your brain chemicals, it can be boosted with certain circumstances.
That is a different kind of depression. That's the actual illness mm-hmm. of depression, okay? And the problem with this questionnaire is that it makes no distinction. There's no question in there that's along the lines of, did you just suffer a major loss in your life? Did you just experience something traumatic?
It's too broad and it's too universal. But when a study
it's all, are you moving too slowly or are you moving too fast? What does that have to do with anything?
You know, when a study comes out like this, though, I feel like the most important thing has to be access to some sort of care after realizing or after being diagnosed, quote unquote, as depressed.
This is the other problem with the recommendation.
Because it doesn't give you that. It doesn't give you parameters on how you go about this.
No. They're basically saying, doctors, ask your patient these questions, and then if you think they're depressed, you can prescribe pills. Mm-hmm. I think Pfizer underwrote this, by the way. This has the imprint of Big Pharma all over it, because in the same breath that they talk about all adults should get these treatments, they say, but we can prescribe medication to treat depression. Because
it's not just that, and
everybody should be walking around on happy pills.
Mm-hmm. And again, we talk about not having a universal questionnaire. Something like depression pills, one person can go through 12 different brands or different varieties before they find something that works for them. Because, like I said, everybody's brain chemical makeup is different. Now,
my brain chemical makeup responds very well to martinis with blue cheese stuffed olives.
Mm. Then
that's my Zoloft.
That helps.
That's my Zoloft.
Yeah. That and Tylenol PM is Ambien.
Mm.
It's nice. There needs to be an emphasis, though, on these adequate systems in place.
Yeah.
You know, we have our government saying, well, affordable care and everything in the healthcare sector is sunshine and rainbows. Well, it's not.
No.
We don't have access to this.
And there is a real problem.
Do you know how difficult it is for somebody to get, if we're going as far as somebody so depressed where they need to be admitted to somewhere? Unless you're suicidal, you cannot get in anywhere.
No.
And generally, you're going to be locked up in somewhere where you're going to be monitored, not helped to get better.
But here's the other thing. Our healthcare system is so overcrowded that doctors aren't even asking their patients these questions. I don't know if doctors will ask their patients these questions. And what are they going to do with it if they have that information?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I think you're depressed. Okay. It's like they tell you you're sick. Yeah, you have cancer. Okay. Like, is there a next? It's like, well, no, this says you have cancer. Next patient.
Well, and I have a friend.
Like, go find a specialist. Here's a list.
That went to their doctor and said, you know, she had anxiety. And the doctor assumed, well, you just want Xanax.
Yeah.
You just want Klonopin.
Who doesn't want Xanax? Come on.
There's this stigma that goes around with asking your doctor for a medication that you think would work. But no, people abuse it. So it's hard.
There's an entire state full of people doing that. It's called Florida.
Yeah, it's not good.
But is this a bad idea that every adult should be screened for depression? Yes. Yeah, I think it is a bad idea. Because the people who don't want to be found out are just going to lie. And a lot of people who aren't depressed are going to get sucked in by these questions because they don't understand them. And because these questions describe very general things. Well,
a lot of people are also in denial.
If you're having trouble sleeping and you're moving too slowly or too fast, you're depressed.
That's non-depression.
Suddenly it's like, oh my God, I'm depressed. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Give me some Prozac.
And a lot of people don't need to go on it. But there are people that, as you said, are in denial, but also don't want to have to think about it. It makes them more depressed thinking about being depressed.
What have we found in
You just go through everyday life.
What have we found in every single situation, and the most recent one is the mammograms that everybody's fighting about right now. What have we found out in every situation where somebody comes along and says, every American needs to be screened for X? What we found in every situation is false positives.
Mm-hmm.
Tons and tons and tons of false positives, people freaking out, the system getting choked with people who don't need care, who can't be dissuaded that they don't need care because some doctor has said, oh, you have this.
You need to go to therapy.
And then they're fighting with doctors, trying to convince them that they have something that they don't have because of a false positive. This has been a bad idea.
Well, the big question, too, if we're going to talk about doing a questionnaire, well, if I take one today at 31, is it good for the rest of my life?
No,
am
every
I
year.
Now going to have to take it?
Well, that's...
So I'm going to fill out this little piece of paper, and it's not going to change. It doesn't work.
You could be depressed tomorrow if after you fill it out today.
This special task force, I would love government money to be focusing more on the studying of mental health.
Yeah.
Giving people easy access to it. Do you know the copay or how hard it is for many insurance companies to let you go to a therapist once a week?
Forget it. They don't want to do it because therapy costs money.
If you sign
They'd rather you take a pill.
If you sign up for the state, Massachusetts Healthcare, there are some that you can only go to a mental health doctor. I believe it's once every 3 weeks, once every month. Whereas I have a private, I'm able to go every week. Your copays are astronomical, but you're allowed to do it. So I would love to know.
I think there's a way to get free care. And the way that you get free care is you walk down to the police station, you take your pants off, and you urinate on a police car. That will get you into a system.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be the best.
Is that what I have to do?
It may not be the best system for you,
mm-hmm.
but it will like get you on situation. Someone's radar, and it may get you some free care.
But that is crazy.
Yeah.
That we live in a country where, and especially with this administration, there is such a big focus on Obamacare and affordable care. Everybody should have it.
But this is
a topic, though, that is at the top of the radar for a lot of people.
There are next to no provisions for mental health care under Obamacare, which anyone who's...
That is a huge problem.
Which anyone who studied this piece of legislation knows and understands that, yeah, it deals with some of the physical stuff, but it does not deal with mental health care at all. It does not make it more accessible. The single biggest problem that you have when you're depressed is that you think you're all alone and no one's going to understand you. And there are no resources available to you anywhere that are obvious. You have to go out of your way to find them.
You have to do the research.
And guess what you don't feel like doing when you're depressed? Oh, I think I'll go online and see if I can find some resources to help with my depression.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're going to go online and be like, oh, no one will take me seriously. This is pointless. I'll just go back to bed.
It's true.
So I agree with you.
The first step for a lot of people is very, very, very difficult.
And then...
Because it's actually having to deal with it. But it's the doing research, going out and doing it. It sounds so simple for some people, but the actual doing it, beginning it, is very difficult.
It's very difficult. And in a lot of cases, not all cases, but in a lot of cases, your first contact with the mental health profession is going to be somebody throwing pills at you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how we treat everything in America now. Oh, you're sick. Here's a pill. We got a pill for everything.
And sometimes they don't fix it all. I mean,
that's not medicine. Mm-hmm. That's chemistry.
And as I've said, everybody has, you know, different levels of depression. But the actual care, the course of treatment is different for everybody. And a lot of places don't provide that. It's difficult to find it. When you are depressed, it covers so much of your life. If we're even talking about what this study was majority for. with people in pregnancy, people post-pregnancy. And the study has shown that women, the effect of relationships is very, very difficult on other children, not only that child. That speaks volumes to the developmental aspect of children. What, because a child is now silent, we say, oh, it must have difficulties. Well, let's look at the start. Was the mother depressed? Is there some sort of relationship going on there? There's always an underlying reason. How did this start? And then again, with children, we just say, well, here's some pills. Has ADD.
Yeah, exactly. That's the solution. Here, take a pill.
It's a vicious cycle.
Take a pill and get out of my office.
Well, maybe the mother's depressed, so there is no relationship there. And the child just sits there and grows up for the first 4 years of its life, not having any interaction or any sort of developmental skills.
Yeah.
It's a tough topic that a lot of people, and especially in Washington, don't want to talk about. But when we have this thing as big as Obamacare, and as you said, Derek, there is so little of it that involves mental health.
Washington doesn't want to talk about this because it costs money. Money that we don't have. Money that's got to come from someplace else. And that's one of the dirty secrets about this whole thing. Our government does not talk about mental illness because we don't have any way to deal with mental illness. We can't begin to care for the people with long-term mental illness in this country who are going to require care their entire lives. That's shameful. But at the same time, they're not doing a better job of it in Europe. There's too much of it. Mm-hmm. As the population grows, the number of mentally ill people grows. And that's just law of averages. When you get over a certain point, you can't afford it anymore. So we've shut down all the mental hospitals. We've left it up to the parents to figure out how to take care of these kids. And then the parents spend their whole lives sitting there going, what happens when I'm gone? What's going to happen to my kid then? Nobody has an answer for any of that. So we can't.
All these questions that don't want to be asked.
Yeah, we can't afford it.
Answered.
And the government's response to all of this, the task force response to all this is, hey, let's screen everybody. Why? What do you hope to gain out of that? Except a better handle on the number of people we can't afford to take care of in this country. Because we have a backwards health system that promotes the interests of insurance companies and profits on Wall Street over a basic human right to health care. That's the world we live in.
And it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's sad, hard to swallow truth.
You won't get it any more unvarnished than that. That's what it is. And if we go to single payer in this country, maybe you can fix this. I don't know. Maybe you need to tax everybody at 50% to be able to pay for this. And good luck getting that past the American people.
Right.
Everybody sits around like, I don't mind paying more taxes. And it's like, they're just going to pay for sick kids. And they're like, whoa.
I'm not sick.
Those sick, I don't have any sick kids. Those sick kids don't have jobs. Were those sick kids even born in this country? Are you bringing the Zika babies up from Brazil? Everybody freaks out.
Yeah.
There are ways we can fix these things if we stop being greedy.
Because it's always about the money.
But unfortunately, it is our nature to be greedy. That's what we are greedy, selfish creatures. And that's another reason why this approach just is not going to work. 617-627-3800. I'm Scott.
Oh, Chris.
Chris isn't bad. Chris is like...
Oh, she's crazy.
Chris is but she's the mastermind of the whole thing.
See, that's when we have... We're all crazy. We just have different levels.
Scott Disick is one of the most useless human beings on the planet.
I'm sure people said that about you.
I don't think he would even exist if there were no Instagram.
Probably not.
I think Instagram created him as a means of promoting itself. He wasn't born. Ugh. He was willed into existence by Instagram. 617-627-3800. When we come back, the strangest stories of the past week and our favorite things from the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
We went walking that starlit night. And- Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, Big Picture, Derek, Gary, Lisa Nichols on the town with Mikey D coming up at 9 o'clock tonight. And we got a caller during our last segment. Mark, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Mark, welcome to the show. And we're talking about mental health. We're talking about the recommendation for screenings for everybody. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm a person who suffered from depression for most of my life, gone on diagnosed. From what Lisa was talking about, organ failure, which caused a chemical change in brain, which goes undiagnosed. So
yeah.
This is actually a physiological problem. On top of it, there's other health problems, which causes a psychological problem. One of the problems with this is the people that are dealing with this are not doctors, they're senators. And there's still a stigma about mental health.
Absolutely.
There's still a stigma about people being crazy. I don't need to go to see a therapist. I'm not crazy.
Right.
It took me months and months and months to get my sister to go to a therapist just to be able to talk things out about what was going on. And she said, you know, afterwards she said to me, it was the best thing in the world. Because you need that person that's not in your life, that's on the outside, that can see your life. You're too wrapped up in your life.
As a rule, that's very true of a lot of people. But the thing that occurs to me is, you know, the solutions that we put out there are go and see a therapist, but a therapist isn't. Obviously, they have degrees, and they are. If you go and see a psychiatrist, they're a medical doctor. A psychologist is not. But a psychologist isn't necessarily there to help you assess whether or not you have a chemical imbalance or some issue that you're trying to deal with. They're there to try and help you through your issues. Where is that branch of medicine that looks at somebody and says, well, this is a chemical problem versus this is a, you know, this is an experience problem? Yeah. Try finding one.
Well,
try getting access
to
one.
I happen to be lucky because I happen to key into the system, and I happen to have a doctor that pointed me to a psychopharmacologist, and I've been seen for a long, long time, being treated for this chemical disorder. And that's where pills come in. Pills are not for psychological disorders. Psychological disorders need a lot of talk therapy.
Yeah.
But if you have physiological problems where the chemical makeup of the brain has changed, then you need some kind of medication.
But there's also, and you'll agree with me on this, a lot of prescribing going on that's just, here, take this and go away.
Well, that happens with primary, that also happens with primary care. That's the problem with this test being given to primary care, because primary care don't know what they're doing when it comes to mental health. They're not trained. When I talk to my psychopharmacologist, who's a doctor, not only does he know what's going on with me mentally, he knows what's going on with me physically. It's causing mental problems.
Right.
But primary care doesn't know this.
Mm-hmm. You see it happen all the time. A therapist would.
When most people go to primary care, they don't have access to the system.
So do you think a solution to this might be, in addition to going to see that physician, you know, your primary care provider on a regular basis, you go see someone like a pharmacologist on a regular basis, and you get evaluated that way?
Yeah, or you get evaluated once. I mean, I had a kidney transplant. Now, when you have a kidney transplant, everybody that has an organ transplant has to see a psychiatrist. They have to be evaluated to be whether they're going to be compliant.
Right. In other words, are you going to follow the care?
The answer to an organ transplant is not the doctor. It's you, whether you take your medicine 100%.
Right.
And that's what they have to assess. And if you're depressed, you may not take the medication.
All right. Well, Mark, we thank you for your call. Keep listening. We gotta move on because we're running out of time here. But thank.
Yeah, I don't mean to take up all your time, but just have some thoughts on it because I've been in the system for 25 years and I've been lucky.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of horror stories. But I've been lucky.
And
I've gotten the right doctors.
It's good to know that it's working for somebody, and it's good to know that you found help, but I think you have shed a good deal of light on some of the challenges that are out there, and thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good night. All right, Lisa Nichols. Let me, which one is it? Oh, I think it's this one over here. No, not that one.
Nope. It's time for What's Hot, our favorite story from this week. And coming up in warmer weather, we have the Boston Marathon happening. This story just got announced today, and I was so excited to see it because this is a regular actually at my restaurant, too. I followed her story. Adrienne Haslett-Davis, she was the ballroom dancer that lost a leg in the Boston Marathon. She actually announced today she will be running this year's Boston Marathon. Her story, go to her website. It is amazing. She has crossed the last leg of the race. She has ballroom dance across it. She is raising money for an Oklahoma City-based company that provides prosthesis to low income. So the story is amazing. I definitely recommend donating. I went on today and donated. You can do it at adriennehaslettdavis.com or Limbs for Life. Limbs for Life is the organization. This story melts my heart. And I was so excited to see somebody persevering over such a tragedy. And it's amazing to see what people can do.
Sweet.
After.
Sounds good. What's that URL one more time?
That is Adrian Haslett, H-A-S-L-E-T, -davis.com or limbsforlife.org. And you can go and anything helps. You know, if you know somebody that's either doing the Pan Mass or the marathon, you know, the money goes to really, really great things.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. Prostheses for the low income is a great, great, great idea. Beatrix Potter wrote a biography many years ago that went out of print. And a publisher at Penguin Random House named Joe Hanks was reading it and discovered references to a book that no one had ever seen. So she went over to England and started rooting through Beatrix Potter's papers and lo and behold, found an unpublished Beatrix Potter manuscript for a story called Kitty in Boots that is going to be published this September on the 150th anniversary of Beatrix Potter's birth. This book, the draft was completely finished, so she had gone through several revisions, the story was done, she'd only done a couple of illustrations for it. So they went out and they got Quentin Blake, who is best known for all of the Roald Dahl books.
Mm-hmm.
Beatrix Potter had done the cover for it, and she'd done one interior illustration. So Quentin Blake illustrated much of the book, and one of the more interesting aspects of this is it features a much older Peter Rabbit as one of the characters, an older and more portly Peter Rabbit.
Really?
And apparently Mrs. Tiggy Winkle also shows up in this. So
that's awesome.
If you grew up with Beatrix Potter, as so many of us did, this is another lost literary treasure that's just shown up. And we may not have all of her wonderful illustrations going along with this, but we will have a story. And her stories were some of the finest. So it's already burning up the Amazon charts in the UK.
I'm sure.
And we'll be burning up the charts here. So if you want it the day it comes out, you probably want to pre-order.
As we end every week, it's time for that thing that happened, the craziest news stories from this week's news. Canada, they're crazy up there. The Canadian government's recent bid to ensure residents are receiving enough vitamin D is getting a rise out of the social media masses. The Department of Health and Social Services recently rolled out a campaign telling residents to ensure they're getting enough of vitamin D. But the kind of activity the campaign wound up promoting is arguably the best accomplished indoors. The department's, quote, "We all need the D" campaign, a slang term for a penis, quickly went viral and spawned giggly dismay across social media. Quote, "We all need the D, even me," declares a young mom in one poster for the campaign. It also asks, "How do you do the D?" Now, it is not just Yukon women that need the D. Quote, "I'm in my 30s. Who knew I needed the D?" declares a young man with his dog in a campaign poster.
That
it's all
could,
about the D.
You know, if I started calling myself the D, that could be a slogan for our show.
Home.
You know, you,
get
every
the D.
Every Wednesday, you need the D. Tune in and get the D.
Yeah.
Did you get the D this week?
Just, if you're writing a campaign, just go on Urban Dictionary and make sure none of the words you're using is some sort of slang.
You would be lost without the D. Right?
Moving along.
Every week you're in here and you're like, I need the D. I need the D right now. Mm-hmm. Can I get the D? Yeah.
Vitamin D.
Stupid. You know what? Because it's Canada, it's cute. You know, because it's like, they're up in the Yukon, for crying out loud. They don't know what Urban Dictionary is up there.
Yeah.
They're sitting around like, I don't know. So we'll put that down as honest, cute mistake.
I think somebody in the back of the boardroom was giggling.
From our Canadian friends.
Wondering if that was going to pass, and it did.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you got?
Detroit.
Hmm.
A Detroit man who died early Sunday in a one-car crash was pantsless and masturbating while watching a pornographic movie on his cell phone, according to police who investigated the accident. I used to have a lot of discussions with Shea Spillane about not texting while she drove. Well, this guy took it to a whole new level. The rollover crash occurred around 3:40 a.m. as motorist Clifford Ray Jones, 58, was driving a 1995 Toyota on a freeway near Interstate 75. Michigan State Police officials report that Jones became distracted while watching the film and lost control of the car, which overturned. Jones, who was not wearing a seatbelt, was partially ejected through the car's sunroof and died at the scene. Accident investigators discovered that Jones, who was alone in the Toyota, was not wearing pants at the time of the crash.
Why couldn't you be the creep in the park that's masturbating?
Kids.
Watching the porn.
Kids.
Taking care of the D.
Sometimes
you're going to drive?
You don't take care of the D while you're driving.
I understand that, you know, rush hour traffic is non-enjoyable. Don't watch porn.
No, this is 3:40 in the morning.